Here's the former president, general manager of the Toronto Raptors, Brian Colangelo, is with us. Colangelo, long time no see.
Yeah, how are you?
Good. We're just talking about wine. Brian was actually at the winery. Last summer?
I was going to ask you how it's going.
It's unbelievable. We launched Tragically Hip Wine today. It's off the charts.
You know, I invested in some real estate rather than invest in your brand,
which
I strongly considered doing, and I probably made a mistake on that. But my real estate project is going well, so I'm happy with that.
Well, I'm glad for that.
But anyway, do you get free wine with the real estate, though, Brian?
No.
The winery goes up. At least you get a few free drinks out of it, right?
Yeah.
No, but I got to say, Bob was a gracious host, and I was wildly impressed with not only the product, but the facilities and the people that he had hired to work and run the operation. He was on the right path, no doubt.
So how are things with you? I haven't even talked to you in months, so I've kind of lost track. Are you still in Toronto?
I am. I'm here. Your kids are in school.
Right.
And, obviously, without a permanent place to go, I didn't want to uproot the family. And we like Toronto. We're committed to Toronto. And as I mentioned, I've got a lot of things going on here. So for now, I'm trying to be the best father I can be to my kids and doing a lot of free consulting for people that pick up the phone and call me and want my opinion on things. And then also, I've been working on a few things that I hope can take root.
Well, we look forward to, reconnecting on a business level as well as on a personal level.
Well, thank you very much.
What's it like, given your circumstance, and everybody knows what happened with the Toronto Raptors, is it hard for you to watch this team?
No, I watch every game, and I'm thrilled for the players, number one, that they're getting finally the recognition that they deserve, and also the success that they deserve. But I'm very happy for the fans that we were working so hard to try to accomplish the same feat. When we set out to rebuild the team, rebuilding is not easy for everyone to stomach, but you've got to have patience and you got to make long-term decisions. And I kind of had an inkling I wouldn't make it to the finish line, and I didn't. And in fact, it obviously fell short by about 1 year, and probably only because, they hired a new CEO. But it certainly, a lot of the things that we talked about happening are happening, and I'm very happy for those players that they're able to overcome, some of the conversation and the criticism. When I was criticized for things, I was always defensive because I was trying to defend more than anything the player, the individual, the human being in the whole thing.
Right.
I know that it's part of my job that you're going to take criticism, sometimes right, sometimes wrong. But I'm very, very happy for like a DeMar DeRozan. When that contract was signed and everybody said it was too much and they didn't have to do it and, should have waited for restricted free agency. Well, I think, everyone's happy we didn't wait. And at this point, DeMar's, and at least for some people that have told me this, he's got one of the better contracts in the league right now. And, Kyle giving up a first-round pick for that deal and Amir Johnson and waiting on Valanciunas that year instead of taking Kemba Walker. All the things that you talk about, I felt bad that I was in a position to have to defend the players, but I had confidence that my staff and I were doing the right things to try to put this team in place and build the team the right way. And sometimes, again, you just have to have patience for it to pan out. But could not be more proud of those kids to do what they're doing right now.
Brian, a lot of, like you just mentioned, all those guys you brought in, signed, and I couldn't help but notice you mentioned the word we in there when talking about the Raptors. Do you still feel a part, part of this?
Yeah, I do. I feel a part of it in many ways. I'm very friendly with Larry Tannenbaum and several other owners. And, when we look at this and talk about the team, I always try to do what was right for the team, the organization, and for the fans. And sometimes, again, that's going to work, and sometimes it's not going to work. But you can go to bed at night knowing that you do that. But, I also am very happy for Masai that things are working out. I made the recommendation to Tim Leiwicki that he hire Masai, and I think that was a great hire. and again, I don't know if this is overlooked sometimes, but I signed a 3-year contract to stay on as team president of business operations. But after a couple of weeks, I realized it wasn't the right decision for me personally, you know, just in terms of my own sanity. And I think that, you know, some other individuals might not have been too comfortable with me being there. And I went back to the board and ownership and said, you know, I think in the best interest of the organization, I should walk. And I did. So I still feel like I'm there. I'm rooting for the guys. I'm rooting for Masai to do well. And I want the team and the fans to benefit from the success they're having. So I do feel like a part of it, you know, and just that's, you know, just that's my inner feeling there.
Is there one guy, because the nucleus of this team is yours, really. Is there one guy that surprises you or has surprised you by his development?
Boy, I want to say yes, but no. I really felt like we were on the right path with a number of things that we were doing. And, you know, again, it's not easy for everyone to see when you've got these decisions being made well in advance of, you know, intended results. But, you know, I think Jonas is developing at about the pace that we anticipated.
Right.
I knew DeMar had another level because he just worked so hard and cared so much, and he's a high character kid. And those are the things I look for. You know, it's work ethic, it's character, it's talent, and he had all of the above. And he wanted to be in Toronto. You know, I can't stress enough how important it is that we did not let him go to restricted free agency, because I had a similar situation in Phoenix with Joe Johnson when we didn't give him the extension. He didn't act it out, but he definitely harbored resentment and feelings that, well, they didn't care about me. They didn't want to give me the number I wanted. I'm going to prove to him that I'm worth it, and I'm going to go get it, and I'm going to go get it somewhere else. And he did that, you know, and it caused a real rift for us. Now, we could have matched the deal that Atlanta gave him, but it was so crazy that at the time, and it was going to throw our numbers off so much that we ended up making the best of a sign and trade, and it worked out. But not having Joe Johnson might have cost us a championship going forward. That was the common belief in the organization. And we could have had him the year prior for, believe it or not, a 6-year deal, $50 million, and he ended up with 5 years,
$72 million. Wow.
But that's the name of the game in free agency, and you got to be careful. But, you know, when you're going through that process, I just didn't want DeMar to lose the love for Toronto, and I think he would have loved, you know, lost some of that if we had not re-signed him, so, or extended him. But, you know, Lowry, and I think when we made the deal, we made the announcement, or at least I made the statement that I thought he was a top 10 point guard. Well, he's far superseded that. He's a top 5 point guard right now, and arguably one of the top in the league, if not the best performing point guard right now. So, you know, perhaps that one surprised me a little bit, because I knew he was good. He is digging deep. He is digging really deep and really pushing this team forward in a new direction. And I'm also, you know, in terms of his success, I think that's him growing alongside of Dwayne Casey. And Dwayne probably had to change a little bit of his mentality in terms of letting him go and letting him be who Kyle is. And I think that the common steps in the right direction probably is what you're seeing there. And that one, you know, is really, I think, at the key of this franchise, you know, taking on the kind of momentum that they are.
Well, let me offer something, Brian. I'm going to offer that Kyle Lowry's skill was less in question than his character was when he came over. And the issue was this guy mishandled, mistreated in the years before he became a Toronto Raptor, and that caused him to be a little sulky, a little edgy. When you signed him, was that a concern of yours? Did you see that, or did you recognize right away that this is a set of circumstances that can be resolved if Kyle Lowry is given the opportunity to play?
I really felt, Bob, that if we handled it right, you know, that he would be fine. And, you know, unfortunately he came in and he didn't have the greatest health when he came in. He was coming off of a surgery and, you know, he wasn't in the best shape. And we had a very good point guard, as you know, under contract with us in Jose Calderon. And, you know, the way it played out, obviously, you know, Coach ended up going more toward Jose, and that was, you know, the beginning of a little bit of a tailspin there when things started going awkwardly for us with Kyle's first season. A big decision was made, though, midway through the year, as you know, to not only go get more talent, but part of that was, and I hate the fact that Jose was a victim here, but part of it was moving Jose away, you know, sure. In terms of giving the coach and the player the runway that was required for them to find common ground. And, you know, we knew we weren't going to be a championship contender that year, but we certainly wanted things to go better than they did. But part of the awkwardness was the fact that we had a point guard in Jose that created some of those similar circumstances that he experienced in Memphis and in Houston. You know, in Houston, it was Goran Dragic, if I'm not mistaken. And in Memphis, it was Conley. But Kyle is who he is, and he needs to be the guy. And when he is the man and he's healthy and all things are going good, you're seeing the end result. He's fantastic. He's right now, again, I'm going to say he's a top five point guard in the league right now.
Brian, sitting here and reflecting on all these moves and all these decisions, how much easier is it from where you're at now as opposed to when you're in an office trying to do this and when you're getting paid by the team to be the man to make those decisions?
You know, look, I mean, here, you know, I'm like everybody else. I'm just a fan watching basketball. At the time when you're in it, I didn't realize the kind of pressure that comes with all of it. But for 18 straight years, I was on the front lines and having to make decisions that, you know, put my neck on the line one way or the other. And I don't think I realized the magnitude of it until right. I stepped away from it. And then I realized, wow, that this is different waking up and not having to answer to 18 people a day, you know. But you got to answer to everybody. You got to answer to the media, your owners, your coaches, your players, the agents for the players. You got to manage a lot of people, and it's not just the people working for the organization. But, you know, it has definitely changed my life. I've got a different cadence to my life right now, but, you know, it's good. It's good for reflection, and it's good to also kind of forecast, you know, what you might do going forward, how you might deal with certain things. But, you know, I think that when you're sitting in that chair, you know, the pressure is definitely there because there's a lot of dollars at stake and there's a lot of things, you know, that affect you and your lifestyle, let's say, mm-hmm. but or your livelihood. But at the same time, it's such an enjoyable job and it's such a great thing to be a part of that, and especially someone like me who loves the competition of the whole thing. I think that you get caught up in it and you don't really dwell on it. You just deal with it.
Was there one move, looking back now, that, man, you think, man, that must have just taken years off my life, dealing with that trade you made or didn't make or a draft pick or a contract? Is there one move that you just look back and on and say, wow, how did I get that done?
I don't really look at how did I get that done. It's like, how did I not get that done? You know, it's like, where did I go wrong? And obviously, and I've been very careful not to say those things publicly.
Sure.
Because, you know, out of just respect for the players involved and the personalities involved, but obviously, you know, some things stick with me as the guy that was here and doing what I did. Like, you know, I think the first one was, you know, more than anything, was probably not retaining Chris Bosh or not trading him when he had the value to be traded. And, you know, I know all the circumstances there, and I could say, you know, that, you know, I could justify my thought at the time. But, you know, clearly that's one of the things that sticks with me. And then the other one is obviously Andrea. And I had come to the conclusion it was in everyone's best interest to move Andrea. I was just waiting for the right opportunity. So it's not like I didn't recognize it. I just probably recognized it a little too late in the process. Still think he's a talented player. I still think that, you know, he could lay a little bit more out there on the court and put a little bit more out there for his team to be more successful. But I really, as much as I can look back and say, wow, some other players in that draft have done better, you can't second guess those situations because I did what I did in terms of drafting Andrea based on the talent and the circumstances that were in front of us, the players that I would have gone for ahead of him were either not healthy or had injury issues that needed to be dealt with. And, you know, it came down to, believe it or not, Andrea or Rudy Gay, who ended up going, I think, seventh or eighth that year, number eight, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, Aldridge had a hip problem, and you're talking about a 6'11 guy that relied on mobility, and he needed surgery on his hip. Obviously, Brandon Roy, who had probably the greatest start to his career, didn't last very long, and we knew that that was going to be the case. You know, he didn't need to get signed to that extension that he did, but he did, and, you know, that's a whole other circumstance. But you know, there's not much more that you can look at and say, wow, you know, I did or I didn't. I just I've made the statement recently to someone. I know that when I'm criticized the most, it's probably going to work out, and when I'm hailed the most, it's probably going to fail. So that's a little bit of a formula that you can follow.
Before we let you go,
mm-hmm.
How much do you miss it?
I miss it a lot because, you know, I'm a junkie. I read everything every day, and you know, I want to be in tune because I also want to be ready for the next opportunity. I can't just turn my eye to the thing. So when you look at all the things that are involved, you know, to read about it, you know, does make you miss it that much more. If I just put it aside, I'm sure I could find another way to occupy my mind, but I'm still knee deep in it as far as my thinking.
Well, here's the good news. You know, everybody recognizes the core of this franchise is yours, and the resume keeps getting better and better every time this team racks up another victory. It doesn't hurt you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll never reach your stature, though. You know,
which is what?
You will.
Which is big dog in town, man. You're the man. Now you got the wine and your own labels to go with it. I love it.
Well, we could do a Colangelo wine, you know, get that Italian flavor in there.
Let's work on a weekly segment where I come on and we rate your wine. How's that?
You just want free wine, Colangelo. That's
I was going to say, Brian. I'll drink it with you.
Coming a long way. Oh, you and between you and Reed, I'll go bankrupt. You're welcome here anytime, pal. You know that.
It's been nice talking to you. Thank you for you know, the comments you made, and continued success to the Raptors.